Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Laid, Love and Intimacy for the Disabled. This is your host, Stephanie Wallace, and I must say I am excited. I'm excited because I have been thinking up some new things to do for the show. I get so ahead of myself sometimes. My mind races and my mouth can't keep up with my mind, so let me start all over again. Today's show is going to be Love Thyself, continued from a couple of weeks back. I did this topic about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and due to my technical error, the show was only 15 minutes and it got short right in the middle, and I liked the show. I thought it was going well, and it got cut short. And then the following week, we unfortunately, you know, we in the community, you know, that I frequent, we experienced a death, and I didn't feel it was appropriate to do a show on that day. It was the same day, and then we I went to a conference or something, and I did a show on the conference, and now I'm back with Love Thyself, because this to me is a very, very important topic, and through doing this show, I feel that it's so much has opened up to me, so many thoughts, so many, you know, I feel like I'm on a personal journey now. And I would like to share that with you guys. And so one of the ideas, I have a new idea for the show. I want to go on an exploratory journey. And this is going to be me learning to love myself. You know, as I go through the, you know, the show, and I end up telling all these stories, some very personal things, I realize I have grown a lot, and I have so much growing to do. And it's a never-ending journey. Because sometimes when you find out things about yourself, you have to go back and find out the root of it. You know, everything has we spoke about on the last show, on the other Love Thyself, things have cause and effect. So I have to understand the reasons why I am not where I would like to be in terms of loving myself, in terms of whatever it is, whether it's my health, my education, relationship, whatever it is, I have to understand it. I can't just say, okay, I can't fix it without understanding it. So a listener, he has suggested that I do videos. And so my first response with that was, my teeth, I'm missing most of my teeth. I only have a few left, a few stragglers left. And so another friend had showed me this, like a false smile, sort of like that you put them, it's like a mold you put in your mouth, it looks like teeth and all stuff like that. I was like, okay, I'll get that. And then it was pointed out, you know, be authentic. Be yourself. Be authentic. If you're going to do this, just be authentic. And take people on a journey with you. If you're going to learn to love yourself, if you're going to learn to accept yourself for who you are and what you are, and you're going to do it in front of people, do it for real. And so what I've come up with is doing videos, Love Thyself videos, a series, maybe once a week, put up a video in this journey of mine. What I hope to gain from it is truly learning to accept and love myself, to help others who may not feel comfortable with themselves, who may not understand how to love themselves, to help them also. I'd like to actually include some people in on this. And so it can be like a progressive journey for a number, maybe four other people I'd like to do. I'd like to include in this. And not on the same video, but in their own. You know, so you'll have Bob's, you know, journey and Sesame's journey and Tara's journey, you know, whatever it is. But it's an idea I'm playing with. Hopefully I would like to bring it to you soon. I've been trying to actually get used to looking at myself on camera. So I have recorded a couple of the videos, a couple of videos, not the videos, but of videos, just trying to get used to seeing myself talk on camera. It's weird. It's weird. It's like listening to yourself on a tape. Remember back in the day, you listen to yourself on a tape, and you say, is that me? It's sort of like that. But, okay, let's go back and try and pick up from where I left off with the last show. One of the things I could recall speaking about was how I used to blurt out, I hate you, and realizing that I was talking to myself. That's kind of deep, you know. Because I can remember, I could be doing anything in a room by myself, in a house by myself, and say it. And so it's like, so what do you hate about? Now I'm asking myself, what do you hate about you? You know, or what did you hate about you? Well, one of the things was that I let myself rise and fall based on the opinions of others. If somebody said, good mother, I felt like I was a good mother. If somebody said I had on a nice outfit, you know, whatever, then I felt nice that day, or, you know, whatever. I just let myself rise and fall. It was as if people's opinions molded me. And see, that had been for my whole life, from the time I was a child. Well, just, I remember starting school and constantly, I was an angry child. I was an angry child. I mean, you could find me any day of the week after school bitching and yelling at Mr. J. Walker. I ain't going to say his own name, Mr. J. Walker, because he teased me relentlessly. He was in my class, and he teased me relentlessly. And I, after school, I'd be chasing him, ready to fight. Couldn't fight a lick, but I had this anger, such anger, because it's like, I think part of me felt like, why me? Why me? I mean, why me? You know, it is, okay, so these are, and it wasn't just him. It was just other things, even the teenagers in the neighborhood, you know. I can remember being teased by them. I can remember junior high, just always. High school, I was spit on. But I think that was just more racial than anything. But you have to climb out of that. You know, these are just, that's people's hate and people's hurt that they pile on you. And if you don't know, if you don't have the strength or the help of people who love you, you know, you got to climb out of that. You have to climb and crawl out of that and shake that off. You have to learn and teach yourself how to shake it off. Because, see, it closes you. It encloses you. It engulfs you. And it makes you stay. It makes you stay in a place. And that place is a place where you try and protect yourself as much as you can. You know, you try to keep yourself protected from the hurt that others pile on you. You know, so, boy, I'm sorry. So, you know, it's almost like they teach you where you belong in this world. And if you, you know, if you fall victim, that's what it is. If you fall victim to it, you will stay in that place. You know, and wow. My mind right now, my mind is literally like being bombarded by all these different places that these messages and these things have come from in my life. Because it hasn't only just been strangers. You know, some family members. I remember being little and being told, well, younger. I'm going to say little, younger. And I used to like coffee. Like, maybe from the time I was like 11, 12 years old, I started drinking coffee. And family members telling me, you know, oh, don't, you shouldn't drink coffee because, you know, coffee make you black. I mean, I didn't realize. I mean, it sounded stupid to me. But, you know, these are grown-ups telling me this. And it's like, I don't know, but, you know, just, but you, it's just something wrong with being black, you know, or don't wear bright colors and make you look black. Whatever it is, there's always something. People put their ignorance and their stupid ideas on you. And you absorb them. People, we absorb them. We absorb what people feel about us, think about us. We absorb it. You know, my beautiful, beautiful granddaughter. You know, I have two beautiful granddaughters and two beautiful grandsons. And I'm not just saying that because I'm their grandmother. But, you know, I was talking to my daughter the other day. We had a conversation regarding my granddaughter. She's 6 years old, and she is going, she's 6 years old, and she is going through this self-image thing at six, you know, because, you know, she's African-American, and her sister, her baby sister, is biracial. And so when they are out, her baby sister gets a lot of, oh, she's so beautiful, que linda, you know, whatever it is. People are always commenting on how beautiful her sister is. And, you know, so she asked her mother, do people like her more than they like me? And her mother doesn't know how to explain it to her, you know, because you don't want to be so blatant with the truth, you know, that you just messed the child up, you know. But so how do you protectively tell her the truth? How do you protectively, you know, it's a very difficult thing because you really want to tread lightly. You do, you know, like things like, you know, Their hair is different. So, you know, of course, you know, my sister asked her the other day, you know, she's like, come on, what do you want me to do to your hair? She was combing her hair. What do you want me to do to your hair? She said, make it long. You know, she wanted it long and straight. You know, so these are the images. And then when she plays with dolls, she prefers playing with white dolls over black dolls, you know, whatever. And it's a hurtful thing. It is a hurtful thing to have such a beautiful child not understand that she's beautiful just because she is, you know, just because she is. And, you know, I'm wondering what this will do, you know, to her, how this will make her feel as she grows, and what we can do as a family to fortify, you know, and impress upon her that she is beautiful. Beautiful is who you are. It's not how you look. So, you know, that's when I look at this and it's like, it's one thing to go through it yourself, but it's another thing to see your loved ones go through it. You know, I remember my daughter, my middle daughter, you know, she went to school and we, in the neighborhood that we lived in, majority of the people in her class were Hispanic girls with these cute little ponytails. And at the time, you know, we practiced Islam. And so my girls would wear headscarves. And my daughter would always take her headscarf and put it back in a ponytail. And she would walk and she would do her head so that this ponytail would swing back and forth and back and forth. And she would say, I'm half black. She always showed the back of her hand. I'm half black and half Puerto Rican, and showed the front of her hand. You know, and she changed the way she talked, you know, like with her accent, you know, and everything. And it's deep. It really runs deep. And so, you know, trying to, with my granddaughter, that's a deep issue. And that's something I'm going to be, like, really diligent in trying to find, I don't know the word I'm looking for, but I will try and find effective ways, but that are not, I don't have to develop a dislike or hatred or anything like that for anybody else or nothing, anything like that. But I want her to develop a love for herself, you know, so that her concentration as she grows won't be what I look like, you know, or I need this, you know, to be accepted or anything like that. I just wanted to, I wanted to be able to concentrate on who she is as a person, because I think she's awesome, you know. And you know, and that's for all of us. If we could all just take a minute and look, because I think we have a false sense of I love me. I don't care what nobody else thinks. That's bull. It's bull. I don't think anybody doesn't care what anybody else thinks. Now, maybe some people walking out there, you know, I don't know. But people who are interacting with others on a daily basis, you know, I do think you care. You know, and, but how do you deal with people, live amongst people, and, you know, you can care what people think about. Think about you. It's okay. I think it's even necessary, you know, but I don't think to let it make you rise and fall, if you can understand what I'm saying. You know, it shouldn't, how you feel about yourself shouldn't depend on what other people think about you. I think it's an indicator of maybe what you're putting off sometimes, you know. And I don't mean like what they think about you in terms of, oh, your shoes are nice or ugly, you know, your hair is nice. I'm talking about the person that you are, your character, how you carry yourself, how you treat other people. There you go. How you treat other people, how you interact with other people. I think how people feel about that is important. It is important. It is not ultimate, but it is important, you know. And so we have to step back and assess who and what we want to be. That, you know, a lot of times we wing it. But you really have to step back and you have to assess who you want to be, what you want to be. What is it that you want to leave this world? You know, I can recall a long time ago, you know, just, I would go to the mosque and I would see people who I felt had a certain level of righteousness. Now, that's a whole different subject we ain't going to go into because that's not the point. But who seemed on point to me with the practice of their religion. And I always felt like I would never get there. I felt like I was too flawed, you know. And my prayer would be, was always for so long, to make me useful, to let me help others. That's what my prayer was for a long time, a long time, a long time, a long time. You know, and once I realized that doesn't have to come under a religion, you know, that's just being a person and the person that I wanted to be, you know, to just help me to be useful to others, help me to help others. You know, in whatever way I can. Now, see, sometimes we look at other people and we do that comparison thing. You know, I'm not going to be able to help people in the way that Bill Gates helps people. You know, I'm not going to be able to help people in a way that a doctor helps people. Or do you understand of things of that nature? In my own way, I will be able to help people. I will be able to be useful to people. And one of the things that helped me was to see people who I haven't seen in a long time and to have them say, okay, you know, I remember when you used to do so-and-so and such-and-such-and-such, you know. And so it started, it's like, okay, maybe you've been this type of person for a while and you just couldn't see it. Because nobody else recognized, or nobody else recognized in you. If you can understand what I'm saying, it's like almost like if nobody tells you you're beautiful, you won't believe you're beautiful. If nobody tells you you're good, you won't believe you're good. No matter what you're doing, you know. Oh, I'm sorry. This is a very emotional topic for me. It is a very emotional topic for me. And I don't even know if it's too personal. I don't know. But it's part of, and how does it tie into love and intimacy for the disabled? It ties in because I and this is my unprofessional opinion, it ties in because I don't think that you can truly experience joy, the love of someone else, until you love yourself. I was just told in a conversation with somebody last night, and a significant other, and, you know, he says, I love you, you know, and, you know, being so beautiful and everything like that. He said, but because you don't, because of your hang-ups with yourself and how you feel about how you look, or you know, you can't accept it from me. And I realized that this is truth. There's truth in what he's saying. I filter the things he says, how he feels about me, I filter it through how I feel about me, right? So you say, he says, you're beautiful. And I see missing teeth. I see, you know, droopy eye. I see whatever. I don't see the beautiful that you see. So, that's how I take it. Okay. Whatever. All right, yeah, thank you. I don't really want to hear it because it's not a true statement to me. Do you understand? Because that's not what I see. And that's something I got to work on. See, that's because if I loved and accepted me, it would be easier for me to accept that from him. You know, it makes loving yourself, accepting yourself, makes being intimate easier. You're able to enjoy it more because you're not hung up on your hang-ups. You know, you're not hung up on your hang-ups because when you're hung up on your hang-ups, you can't relax. You can't let go. You can't share the way you should. You know, so all of these things. I feel like I'm in like, I feel like this is going to take me the rest of my life. I really do. Not that I don't feel like I'm that jacked up, that messed up or anything like that, but it's 46 years in the making. You know, you don't undo 46 years in 46 days. You know, so, and it's all about how we perceive things. It's all about how we have to find another way of understanding. Finding another way of understanding. I try and look at people like they're me. And by that I mean, like they want the same things out of life that I want. You know, you want health, you want happiness, you want to take care of your family. You know, those type of things. That's what I'm talking about. And it helps me to humanize people. It helps me to put myself on a level playing field with people, you know, because sometimes we feel like some people are above us or beneath us or whatever. But if you're me, we at that same level. I don't care where you're at, you know, in life. I don't care what your position is. You know, it makes it easier for me to deal with you. And I can see you as a person, so I don't see you. I remember when I was working for the Board of Ed, I was a secretary at the Board of Ed, and my boss, he was a captain in the Army, and he had a reputation for being rough. But I didn't see him as rough. I liked him. I didn't see him as rough. He just wasn't about no bull. That's it. He was there for a purpose, to accomplish a goal, and he wanted that goal accomplished. It's as simple as that. And if you was along with that, if you was doing that, then you was cool with them. You know? And when you show a person that you are intimidated by them, then they intimidate you. You know? I wasn't intimidated. You know, as a matter of fact, there was another woman in the office, and she was very intimidated by him. And he did not like her, and she did not like him. And he was rough with her. She was annoying, she was. But she was a sweet, sweetest sugar. But he was rough with her. Too rough on her today. You need to think about it, you know, take it down, you know. You've got to treat her better than that. You know, and that's the type of relationship that he and I developed, because he was not that captain in the Army. He wasn't the boss to me. He was a person. He was a person. And I was able to deal with him on that level playing field and humanized him. And we got along. You know? And what the heck was I saying that for? I don't know. I got all off track. I apologize. But we have to learn to rethink things. You know, when you have something in your life that you are not pleased with, something that is within your control, something that you can change. Think about, why am I not pleased with this? You know, if you're not pleased with the way your life is going, if you're not pleased with your level of education, if you're not pleased with your health, if you're not pleased with your mate, with your situation, you know. So one of the things that I listen to people sometimes talk, and you ever listen to somebody talk and they got the same complaint over and over and over again, and you're like, okay, change it. But one of the things, you know, things go deep. You know, you might be talking to an adult. It's like you're talking to a 40-year-old adult who's complaining about their mama talking to them, and or whatever, and the way their mama talks to them, the way their mama treats them, or whatever, you know. And you realize this person still lives in their mom's house. And, you know, okay, you get up and go. You're grown. Get up and go. You're grown. You're an adult. You don't have to live like that. But there's a history. You know, everybody does not have the same strength. You know, and see, that's where you go into really stepping outside of your comfort zone and radically changing your life. See, I feel like it's easy for me to say, you go out, get up, go, you gotta go. But see, I've been on my own with my sister, who was, since I was 17 and my sister was 19. We've been on our own. You know, our parents are deceased. And so we had to. We don't know how to do nothing but get up and go if we have to do what we have to do. So, because we were forced into it. But if you have somebody whose parent has been taking care of them for all of these years, who has been their safety net for all of these years, they might not know how to do that. You know, so that person has to get up and get out and get out of that comfort zone and start changing their life. Loving yourself sometimes is about changing. It's about making things better for you. Could you imagine living your whole life in a way that you weren't happy? You weren't happy, and you had the opportunities to change it, but you were afraid, or you didn't know, you know, didn't know how, you didn't take the opportunity, you were lazy about it, whatever it is. But just imagine being in your last moments and having all of those, you know, thoughts of things that you wish you could have done, things you should have done, and everything like that. You know, just listen, this is your life. This is your life, your one and only. And you have to do with it what you have to do with it to be happy with yourself. And when I say happy, I don't mean happy, la, 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 partying, you know, type of happy. But I mean to feel that you've done your best, to feel that you put forth your best effort in life. Everything is not going to be successful. Everything you do is not going to be successful, but it is worth, you are worth the try. You are worth the effort. You're worth the effort. If it works, if it's successful, great. If it doesn't, take note on what not to do again, how to do it better the next time. That's it. Don't just put yourself in that knee zone. Get some tunnel vision on yourself, about yourself. Get tunnel vision on making your life a better life to live, a better life for you to live, not a better life for other people to see you live. You know, because a lot of times we like to floss. You know, we like to floss. We like people to see us look good. We like people to think that we are more successful at something than we actually are. That's called flossing. You know, you just want to be right with yourself. That's what for me, that's what it's about for me, to be right with myself. I think about one way now that I can improve, and that is with my mobility. My sister says, "Oh, come on, why don't we, you know, we can walk half the projects and come back." I want to slap the fool off of her. Okay, can walk some. But what she doesn't realize is I can't make it halfway down my hallway without having to sit down. You know, she's talking about walk. Now, that would require me to walk out of my apartment, down the long hallway, stand there, wait for the elevator, go down 18 floors, go down the long ramp. I'm done by the time I'm waiting for the elevator. You know what I'm saying? So she wants to go through all of this walking, and I know she means well. I do know she means well. And it is my intention to do better. But, you know, really having the conveniences of of my life right now, which are my wheelchair, my scooter, you know, or whatever, they make things easier for me, which is why I don't want to deal with the lugging the log legs. That's what I'm going to call it, lugging the log legs. And so I tend to stay in that chair, stay on that wheelchair, on the scooter. And I get for my son, and, you know, my son, he says, remember that lady said, don't let him put you in a wheelchair, you know, because you're never going to get out of it. I get it now. And the one thing that does bother me is that if something happens, God forbid, and somebody, it's not even about me getting hurt or me losing my life, but if somebody else gets hurt or loses their life trying to help me, that's a problem. Or if my grandchildren are here and I can't help them, but maybe I would have been able to help them if I had done the exercises that my PT told me to do. I have a walker. I have the resources. So that's my get better. That's one of the get betters that I have to do. That's a serious, serious get better. And I used to dream about not being able to help my grandchildren. And there was something, I remember I had a dream that my grandson had went all the way. I don't know, anybody ever, when I was younger, used to go to gym, and gym had, they had this, like, I don't know, maybe it was a ladder, I'm thinking, or maybe that was just my dream, but like this tall ladder attached to the wall. And I jumped and my grandson climbed up there, and I had to go up and get him. And I got up there, but getting down was really, really trepidatious, you know, it was really scary. And, you know, I don't ever remember dreaming getting all the way down, but I remember dreaming holding him and being up there. And so, you know, it's things like that that really bother me. And I'm not a person who has always done her best, not without a cheering section behind me. Got to be my own cheering section. I got to love myself enough. It's not about, you know, other people loving what I do. I mean, that's great, you know, if we can do that, if I can get there to where, you know, other people love what I do. But I got to love what I do. I have to love what I do. You have to love what you do. You know, don't let what other people think about you and what you do stop you from doing anything. Guys, I love you. And I will be getting back to you on when the new series is going to start, when the videos will start. I hope this has been helpful. I hope this has been useful. Because that's the goal, to be helpful and to be useful. I don't like to see people, if you're going to learn from someone else's experiences, you know, I know people have to experience things for themselves, but if you can learn from someone else's experiences, do that. You know, doesn't make any sense for you to go through the hardship that other people have already gone through for you. So if you can learn from somebody's experience, if you can take the time out and, you know, improve something about yourself, that's what you love, showing yourself that care, showing yourself that love. That's what it is love, improving your situation, improving yourself. And so, you know, until next time, guys, I will see you back here next Monday at 6 p.m. Bye-bye.